Madam President and members of the Senate, Madam Speaker and members of the House of Assembly, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. The opening of this session of Parliament comes shortly after the celebration of a significant landmark for us as a nation. 3 decades ago, St. Lucia sought and attained its independence from colonial rule, gaining its freedom to chart a future anchored in the economic, social, and cultural aspirations and interests of its own people. Since then, we have been strategically planning our own escape route away from the economic and social deprivation synonymous with the bygone Cane-Feel era, a route which points towards a development horizon that seeks to provide for the economic and social well-being of all, not of just a few of the people of this nation. Although the road to development has not always been smooth, there is no doubt that we have managed to achieve notable progress in our advancement towards that goal of social and economic development. Certainly, during these first 3 decades, we have witnessed our nation transform itself from a predominantly agrarian economy, where our rural landscape was dominated by large absentee landowners, interspersed with poor local peasants, to the emergence of rural entrepreneurs in control of their own model farms. Indeed, we have advanced from being hewers of wood and drawers of water to being shapers of our own destiny. With time, our economy transformed from a single crop agricultural base to one built on a tripod of agriculture, manufacturing, and tourism, and ultimately to the present, where the role of the services sector within a modern, diversified economy is highlighted. In the area of social development, we have made major advances, as is recorded in all the human development indices published by international agencies. Special mention must be made of progress in areas such as education, health, the field of sports, and in the overall quality of life of the people of this nation. However, the progress which we have been able to register over the 30-year period in creating the platform from which sustainable growth can be pursued is now threatened by the financial meltdown engulfing the economies of the world. This has precipitated a domino effect of credit squeeze, followed by a global economic downturn and serious loss of jobs. No country has been spared, and the most vulnerable are the most affected. The repercussions on our own economy in terms of postponed or cancelled investments and reduced hotel occupancy can pose serious challenges for the construction and tourism sectors. The decline in the value of the pound sterling will simultaneously adversely affect income from the sale of bananas. The road ahead remains long and arduous. Trade liberalization and globalization have led to an ever greater exposure of our already exposed markets, and the consequent need to wean ourselves from an environment of protectionism to one rife with competition among global players. Madam President, Madam Speaker, we observed the 30th anniversary of our independence under the theme, A Journey to be Proud of, A Future to Look Forward to. However, that future is under serious threat from international events over which we have little or no control. The global economic and financial crisis is affecting one and all at both the national and individual levels. Nationally, there is the threat of lower revenue to the state from tourism, agriculture, and border taxes, while individually, we face danger from a reduction or total loss of remittances from friends and family overseas, from job insecurity, and from increased prices of certain imported consumer goods. It should, however, be recalled that our history, from the struggles of the native peoples to the resistance of the slaves and throughout the many battles for this Helen of the West, has made us a strong and resilient nation. St. Lucia was built by the bravery and persistence of the many who coped with unforgiving situations for the prospect of a more promising future. We must once again summon the courage shown by our ancestors to meet the challenges of today. Determination, resolve, and sacrifice are the hallmark of centuries past, present, and future. As a small island developing state, there is little we can do at the global level to solve the current problems. Regionally, however, we have attempted to pool our resources with those of our neighbors in an effort to derive strength from numbers and more effectively utilize our diplomatic capital. Nevertheless, we still remain very vulnerable to the vagaries of international capital markets and subject to conditions which we are able to do little to influence. Notwithstanding the constraints from which we inherently suffer, we can nonetheless challenge ourselves individually and collectively to change our situations, not only to cope with the present crisis, but to shape and mold a nation of confident, caring, and responsible citizens. As a consequence, during this fourth session of the 9th Parliament of St. Lucia, government will focus on the following priorities: stabilizing the economy, protecting existing jobs and creating new job opportunities, continuing our investments in social infrastructure, particularly in education and health, providing social safety nets, particularly for more vulnerable groups, investing in our youth, preserving law and order, and fostering a social partnership among all segments of our population in order to confront the development challenges facing our country. Madam President, Madam Speaker, stabilizing our economy by maintaining and creating jobs will require that government continue to pursue policies that boost investor confidence whilst facilitating the more effective and efficient implementation of its own public sector investment program. The current international crisis has unfortunately had an adverse impact on investor confidence, and some of the private sector investment projects which had been previously negotiated by my government and which under normal circumstances would have already commenced implementation has been unavoidably delayed. We therefore have to harness the creative potential of our people, both those at home and those living overseas, to find alternatives to cushion the effects of this delay in the implementation of our major projects. In the tourism industry, my government has endeavored to sustain the level of resources necessary to facilitate marketing efforts, including the maintenance of airlift and more efficient utilization of our existing hotels in an effort to secure jobs. The resources at our disposal are lean and thus narrow our options. Consequently, bailouts are out of the question. It is, however, imperative that strategies are developed to cushion the effects of adverse developments on the economy of St. Lucia and the social consequences arising from job losses. The economic circumstances place the greatest challenge on at-risk groups in our society. Within the last year, my government spent millions of dollars subsidizing the prices of basic commodities in an effort to contain increases in the cost of living, and more specifically, to cushion the effect of price rises on low-income groups. My government is convinced that it took the correct decision at the time to contain the prices of these commodities. During this session of Parliament, we will explore the possibility of adopting a more targeted approach in extending support to at-risk groups to ensure that support reaches those who need it most. We will also examine other safety nets to maximize that support. My government will heighten its concentration on immediate priorities while waging a war on waste. That means helping to stabilize the economy, minimizing the loss of jobs, promoting efficiency in the state apparatus, and providing opportunities in agriculture to encourage domestic food production. The downturn in the banana industry over the years and my government's recent efforts to reverse the trend leaves room for greater effort to be exerted in production for domestic and regional use. Our adverse trade balance is due in large measure to our high level of food imports. My government is committed to exploring greater and more efficient production of food for the domestic market, including the hotel sector. In this context, it is to be noted that after years of advocating large-scale food production as the answer for promoting food efficiency, which, by the way, can be accomplished in developed countries only with massive subsidies, international organizations, including the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations, have come around to recognizing the role of small-scale farming, both as a profitable activity and as a means of alleviating environmental risks. Even in highly developed countries, the continuous need for investment in education appropriate to the needs of today's knowledge-based economy is seen as a priority. This applies even more so to us, where physical resources are few, but human resources are plentiful and waiting to be harnessed. Today, our youth have a more global perspective. They are in touch with the latest technologies like the Wii, the iPhone, and the iPod, but they still need our guidance and care to take an interest in their own society. My government therefore remains committed and steadfast in its resolve towards universal access to early childhood education, reconceptualizing and transforming primary and secondary education, enhancing the National Skills Development Program, and upgrading the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College into a full-fledged university college to cater to the educational, social, and economic needs of our nation and the sub-region. In direct recognition of the threats posed to the moral and social fabric of our society, government will continue to place considerable effort to ensuring that the capabilities of students are developed through co-curricular activities, through sports, health and wellness programs, and civic responsibility. This is to ensure that students foster desirable attitudes towards their peers and those in authority. Thus, the reintroduction of uniform groups throughout the school system will continue to be pursued with greater vigor and fervor. iGovernment also proposes to adopt a language policy to create the environment that will facilitate the development of languages as we seek to provide greater opportunities for our people. The initiative to conclude a linguistic pact with the International Francophonie Organization is one such step. Other initiatives in the Spanish language will be pursued. The creative industries are now recognized as a major source of economic activity. In many cultural fields, such as music, art, theater, and dance, the potential exists for us to earn significant foreign exchange to supplement our economy. It is the intention of my government, therefore, to develop policies to harness the creative potential of our citizens in that regard, and we are going to give priority to the youth. Our government has fully committed itself to the strengthening of the bonds that tie us together as people of St. Lucia and from St. Lucia. In this regard, much emphasis will be placed on encouraging St. Lucians living overseas to invest in their homeland. We recognize that individuals and small groups have been making their contributions to St. Lucia and to their families. We applaud these efforts, especially when times have been difficult for our country. We must now move some steps further to the creation of more consolidated groups that can invest in the economic, social, and political spheres. We believe that with proper organization, the current contributions can grow in size and quality. Madame Présidente, Madame Speaker, Mesdames et Messieurs, nous avons ouvert la session parlementaire tout de suite après la grande célébration 30e anniversaire de l'indépendance du pays. Durant cette célébration, nous tenons l'occasion pour garder derrière nous et puis devant nous, pour réfléchir à la route là nous prenons jusqu'ici, aussi bien à ce chemin qui a ouvert devant nous. Pour le moment, nous avons trouvé nous dans quatre chemins. Et c'est pour nous demander nous avons des questions. Est-ce que nous pouvons faire le même sacrifice là et puis travailler avec la même résolution qui mettait nous connus aujourd'hui? Eh bien, est-ce que nous sommes abandonner tout progrès à nous faire parce que les choses ne peuvent pas marcher de manière nouvelle? Mesdames et messieurs, c'est pour nous accepter que les choses difficiles tout au long de la terre, c'est juste ça là. Et puis, il n'y a pas ni un chien qui nous a fait un petit pays pour faire plaisir. Chimère devant nous, monnaie et puis à pic. Et qui a point chaque temps avant nous arriver à ce plateau. Le gouvernement sait que tout le monde est chaque ce jour-là. Mais il a essayé de prendre toutes les démarches pour ne pas nous désespérer, pour que le pays a venu à bout de trois classements mondiaux plus vite que possible. Situation économique la terre retardé sérieusement ce gros projet gouvernement te promet là. Mais il a pris des marches pour voir que trois personnes ne perdent pas le travail et puis pour mener le travail neuf en pays. Il a fait ça pour continuer le projet en éducation, culture, santé, agriculture, projet pour jeunesse pays, projet pour d'autres parmi nous qui n'ont pas de moyens pour un décor. Conseil qu'à crier à nous toutes pour mettre la main pour aider la situation. Nous avons l'occasion ça là pour applaudir et puis remercier ces saints lycéens qui ont été leur pays, qui ont aidé nous combattre ces difficultés que le pays a expérimenté en ces temps là. Nous avons crié à ce bon Dieu pour continuer à faire la force et courage. Nous avons remercié aussi le gouvernement de ces pays européens pour l'assistance de nous pour bâtir grand l'hôpital neuf. Nous voulons dire merci aussi à tout gouvernement étranger qui a ban nous la main, même si le pays et puis l'économie sont affectés comme tous les autres. Madame President, Madame Speaker, while considerable progress has been made in decreasing infant mortality and eliminating malaria and bilharzia, serious new challenges have been posed to the health sector, particularly by HIV and AIDS, hypertension and diabetes, and other lifestyle-related diseases. This is not simply a humanitarian consideration, but an issue related to productivity and therefore to economic prosperity. We recognize the need for strategies and interventions to combat these and other health problems as an essential element of our government's development intentions and priorities during the life of this parliament. Now is a very appropriate time to express our gratitude to the member governments of the European Union, presented locally by Excellency the Resident Ambassador of France and the Resident British Commissioner, for their unwavering support for the financing of the new General Hospital, construction of which has already commenced. When completed, it will be a significant addition to our stock of medical facilities, and will contribute to our efforts to meet the Millennium Development Goals in health as the UN begins its focus on global health this year. In addition, it should further contribute to St. Lucia's attraction as a destination for world-class medical facilities. During the last few months, my government received the initial report of the National Consultative Council, in which recommendations have been made for addressing a number of policy issues. The process of national dialogue has widened considerably, and in the preparation of the national budget proposal, which will be presented to Parliament later today, there has been an unprecedented level of consultation with all sectors of the economy, including private business interests, trade unions, and a number of non-state sectors, non-state actors. The present economic conditions which we face require us to further expand and consolidate this consultative process. My government has, on previous occasions, articulated the need for a permanent tripartite mechanism that will transcend partisan political lines and include representatives of workers, government, and employers in a kind of social partnership that will discuss and arrive at solutions to national social and economic issues. Such issues might include productivity and competitiveness, and may eventually lead to the evolution of a competitiveness council. My government will give priority attention to expediting this initiative within the life of this session of Parliament. Through working together, understanding our responsibilities, and adopting a give and take approach, we can rise to the occasion. Indeed, the present world economic crisis presents a unique opportunity for us to come together to harness our collective resources, change our traditional way of doing things, show more care and concern, and look within ourselves for solutions. Madam President, Madam Speaker, one area where the effects of the international crisis are particularly evident is in our energy sector. You will recall the turmoil in world markets last year, caused by the vagaries of energy prices, which seemed to escalate almost at the whims and fancies of energy speculators and petroleum-producing countries. The deleterious effects of these circumstances are still being felt today. My government remains cognizant of this peculiarity and will take the necessary preemptive steps during this fiscal year to mitigate the effects of any such future occurrence. In this regard, we will establish the relevant mechanism which will be charged with the principal responsibilities for developing firm governmental policies and strategies to promote the continual improvement of energy performance, energy efficiency, and energy conservation. This new mechanism will be mandated to address all energy issues as they relate to the service sector, especially the tourism industry, the manufacturing sector, domestic households, particularly families considered to be at risk, and the electric power utility company. The mechanism will also address the outstanding matter of the formulation of the necessary legislative frameworks to provide for regulation of the energy sector. It is my government's intention that this initiative will help create the relevant platform, which will make it more conducive for entrepreneurs to explore and exploit alternative indigenous energy resources, as well as make it more economically attractive for the private sector to use energy more efficiently to reduce national energy consumption and dependence on imported fossil fuel. In the meantime, mindful of the potential negative effects arising from uncertainty in prices of petroleum products to consumers, particularly as it relates to prices of fuel at the pump, my government proposes to adopt a more transparent and predictable mechanism for determining these prices. Madam President, Madam Speaker, St. Lucians need to feel safe in their homes and communities at all times. In times of uncertainty, disruptive elements may well seize the opportunity to disturb the lives of our law-abiding citizens. My government has a fundamental duty to its citizens to provide for their safety. This is why measures aimed at keeping St. Lucian safe has been deliberately included in this throne speech that sets out the broad goals and directions of the government and its strategy to accomplish those goals. The rule of law in our country is not an option, it is a requirement for all. That is why the legislative program of the government of St. Lucia for the ensuing parliamentary session will include the consolidation of laws and regulations to address the following: search and detention by the police, witness protection, anti-money laundering and anti-terrorism, financial sector stability, the ratification of regional and international treaties and conventions, including those relating to extradition, accreditation of educational institutions and programs, implementation of acts passed but not yet in force, law revision and reform, constitutional reform, police powers. In its fight against crime, my government proposes in this parliamentary session to develop laws, regulations, and a code of practice for police officers with respect to powers of stop and search, use of force, apprehension, detention, investigation, identification, interviewing detainees, and obtaining evidence. Such legislation will include guidelines relating to the use of less lethal weapons, such as tasers and incapacitant sprays, the taking and use of fingerprints and body samples, as well as blood testing and the use of breathalyzers. The necessary legislative regime will be instituted under the Evidence Act 2002, so that local DNA testing can commence later this year. Witness care and witness protection. While it works to increase police powers, my government will ensure that legislation provides for adequate orientation, care, and protection to witnesses, whether for the prosecution or the defense. Consequently, a careful review of the Justice Protection Act 2001 will be undertaken and its commencement ensured. In this connection, the Evidence Act 2002 will be examined to provide for the use of video links so that vulnerable persons, including children, can give evidence without having to appear before a court. Anti-money laundering and anti-terrorism. My government has recognized the ills associated with drug trafficking and terrorist acts, including human trafficking, and has consequently agreed with 27 other Caribbean countries making up the Caribbean Financial Action Task Force to strengthen its legislative regime to combat money laundering and terrorism. Under these circumstances, a number of enactments, including, for example, the Money Laundering Act, will be strengthened so that to ensure that persons engaging in transactions involving property, which are the proceeds of crime, are properly prosecuted. Financial sector stability. Madam President, Madam Speaker, there are a number of factors which impact negatively on the stability of our financial sector. These include, firstly, the increasing risk of the financial sector being infiltrated by the proceeds of money laundering. Secondly, the concern expressed by metropolitan countries particularly members of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, that the offshore banking sector in our states may provide scope for illicit financial transactions and for tax haven. In this regard, we note the final communique of the recent meeting of the G20 in London, which makes particular reference to offshore financial centers. Treaties, conventions, and extraditions. Recognizing the vulnerability of our small states, my government plans to work collaboratively with sub-regional, regional, and international states and with their umbrella organizations such as the OECS Secretariat, the CARICOM Secretariat, the Commonwealth Secretariat, the Organization of American States, and the United Nations Organization. Excuse me, I think, could you give me 1 minute, please? No, I have a feeling that I'm not reading the right thing. Just 1 minute, please, your leave.
Slight problem on the Governor General, the Internet Review, which you just asked for a few seconds, and Lagos Examiner. We're not too sure what the issue is, but we should be getting back to her shortly. She's now seated. But Michael, maybe quickly we can look at some of the things that she has been covering so far in the 2009-2010 throne speech. Some of the focus areas, some of the areas that she has focused on so far, so tourism, also youth, health, the economy, law and order. These are some of the focus areas so far. Michael, your impression of some of the things that she has covered so far?
Thank you for your patience and your indulgence. Thank you for your patience. I continue with treaties, conventions, and extraditions. Recognizing the vulnerability of our small state, my government plans to work collaboratively with sub-regional, regional, and international states and with the umbrella organizations such as the OECS Secretariat, the CARICOM Secretariat, the Commonwealth Secretariat, the Organization of American States, and the United Nations Organization. In the area of crime and security, my government hopes to sign and ratify the CARICOM Maritime and Airspace Security Cooperation Agreement, as well as the CARICOM Arrest Warrant Treaty, in order to facilitate the apprehension of offenders beyond our borders. My government also intends to increase the number of countries with which we have extradition arrangements, mutual legal assistance arrangements, and prisoner exchange arrangements. In the area of trade, sovereign legislation will be passed to ratify the provisions of the Economic Partnership Agreement, which was signed last year, between the members of the Caribbean Forum and the European Union. Other bills being prepared for enactment include the Competition Bill, the Consumer Protection Bill, and the Food Safety Bill. My government recognizes that it has inextricable links with the other OECS countries through numerous areas of functional cooperation, and will therefore be prepared to embrace the draft OECS Economic Union Treaty and enact it into national legislation whenever this becomes feasible and after appropriate consultations with our citizens. Accreditation. My government also intends, during this session, to introduce the legislative framework to facilitate the establishment of a national accreditation council. Towards this end, the Accreditation Act, to provide for the process and mechanism of accrediting institutions and programs of study and for related matters, will be enacted. Implementation of acts passed but not yet in force. At the very commencement of this parliamentary session, my government proposes to pass a new Civil Status Act to modernize the administration of our Civil Status Registry. Services will be decentralized to all parts of the island. The new system will be fully computerized, and provision will be made for in-house rectification of errors on both certificates and on other vital records. A number of acts have been passed, but not yet implemented, will become operational in this parliamentary session. For example, the rules and regulations to commence the Small Claims Court Act and the Legal Aid Act will be enacted early in this parliamentary session. The Shop Hours Act, the Fiscal Incentives Act, and the Private Security Act will also be reviewed. In the area of communications and public utilities, it is proposed that the following acts be reviewed: the Engineers Registration Act to guide the operations of the Engineers Registration Board, the Electricity Supply Act to provide for alternative energy generation, the review and consolidation of the many regulations that have been made under the Motor Vehicles and Road Traffic Act to ensure that they are updated and easily referenced, and the Works and Roads Act to protect the country's physical infrastructure. Further, the necessary regulations will be passed to give effect to the Patents Act 2001 to make us more compatible with the World Trade Organization's Trade and Intellectual Property Rights Agreement, to propel St. Lucia into the modern era of registration of patents and industrial designs, and so to enjoy the economic benefits that will inevitably accrue. Law revision and law reform. Our existing laws must be constantly updated and new laws enriched in keeping with societal changes. For this purpose, legislation will be passed during the parliamentary session for the establishment of a Law Reform and Revision Commission. Among the legislation to be reviewed by the Law Reform and Revision Commission will be the Criminal Code, the Labor Code, and a suite of bills relating to family law, including child care and adoption, domestic violence, juvenile justice, and amendments to the Children and Young Persons Act of 1972. The need for reform of local government has been acknowledged throughout the Commonwealth in the 1991 Harare Declaration and at subsequent Commonwealth Heads of Government meetings. It is increasingly being recognized that local government authorities have a role to play in delivering sustainable communities and a better quality of life for the people who live within their jurisdictions. In this parliamentary session, my government will therefore need to create an enabling legal environment to sustain the effective operations of democratic local government. Constitutional Reform Commission. The Constitutional Reform Commission was established by a statutory instrument in July 2004 to review and reform the Constitution of St. Lucia in order to encourage effective governance, to ensure that the institutions of state remain strong and responsive, and that the rights and freedoms guaranteed to all persons are respected. The Commission has been engaging in dialogue with the populace at large and has embarked on a series of consultations in St. Lucia and the diaspora with individuals, groups, and organizations who have been submitting proposals for appropriate changes to the Constitution. During this parliamentary session, my government looks forward with great anticipation to the submission of the Commission's report to Parliament for further action. Madame Présidente, Madame Speaker, en même temps gouvernement qui a fait manœuvre pour stabiliser l'économie pays, il a pris des marches pour assurer que le pays peut vivre la vie en sécurité. Tout le monde suppose obéir la loi pays. Ça qui décide casser ces lois, ça là, quand il vous paye pour. C'est pour raison ça là, le gouvernement qui a détaillé chaque année ces lois et l'intention passée à pays. En session parlement ça là, le gouvernement qui travaille à Souweg pour gider manière police pe arrêté moun. Ki manière yo pe traiter moun le yo arrêté yo. Ki degré force ki acceptable. Et ben ki degré la loi ka considéré comme brutalité. Ki manière yo pe porter plainte contre moun. En même temps, la kaini loi pour protéger témoin ni témoin à décharge et témoin à charge, ça veut dire témoin à sous tous les deux côtés. La kaini loi pour guider magistrat et puis juge à sous qualité jugement, yo peut prononcer à tout monde qui a trafiqué en drogue et bien l'autre activité terroriste par exemple. Pays a ni pour prendre précaution et puis ces règles il a mis en place là pour gider manière banque et puis l'autre établissement finance qu'a fait business pour protéger l'argent et ben l'intérêt client yo et puis pour empêcher qualité ces trois cassements nous ka wè ki ka prend coup tout au long de la terre c'est juste ça là c'est pour nous assurer qui nous pas mettre chat veillé ben parce que chandelier t'écouter passer les thèmes. Gouvernement ni l'intention collaborer et puis c'est l'autre pays Caraïbes là pour régler et puis renforcer l'industrie finance pays, parce que c'est à sous l'industrie celle-là nous voulons dépendre pour diversifier l'économie pays. Si tout qu'on nous attend, ces grands pays a dit, il y a qu'à veiller au point, manière nous qu'à conduire à faire nous, en c'est l'établissement cela. Nous tous savons manière est facile pour voyager ce jour cela. Il est facile pour moi, il est facile pour vous, mais il est facile aussi pour ces monde là qui a comme prime. C'est tant un monde connaît qu'on met en crime un pays aujourd'hui. Et puis tant pour demain, j'ai pris la vol. J'ai quitté le pays. Le gouvernement qui travaille, et puis c'est les autres pays qui arrivent comme là. Et puis même avec l'autre pays en dehors des Caraïbes, pour faire un logement, pour arrêter les pays dans l'autre, pour boucanter les prisonniers, et puis pour retourner les gens qui cassent la loi en pays, il y en a l'autre, pour y répondre tête, côté y faire crime. Le programme législatif pays a bien changé, mais c'est officiel qui a une responsabilité pour travailler sous ces lois là, car il fait tout ça y fait pour entamer autant de yo qui possible. Adam Dio, c'est loi 9, mais il y a plusieurs qui ont déjà passé. Mais souhait nous pouvons implémenter, eh bien, nous avons des changements pour faire, pour moderniser. Madam President, Madam Speaker, whether we are in a crisis situation or not, we must still feed ourselves and our families, educate our children, remain healthy, and care for the less fortunate among us. The state must provide infrastructure and conditions for growth and development and meet its social responsibilities. But each and every one of us has his or her obligation to discharge in the current difficult global and local environment. Can we make changes in our lifestyles to allow us to eat healthier local foods? Can we produce more of what we consume? Can we make the sacrifices of being more selective in our expenditure on consumer items, whether it be in respect of what we wear or our form of transport? Can we not be more productive in our workplace by adopting better work habits, such as improving our punctuality or not watching the clock, and by making suggestions in the workplace to improve conditions and enhance productivity? Can we not get more involved in community work and related activities? Can we, especially young mothers and fathers, can we not care more for and about our children's welfare? Can we not visit with the sick and the elderly more frequently? Can we not care more for our aged parents and grandparents? Can we not turn into a national pastime the cultivation of backyard, kitchen, and flower gardens to keep the young gainfully active, while at the same time providing healthy foods for ourselves that will lead to a healthier lifestyle? Of course we can. But it will require a change of mindset and a greater sense of personal responsibility. My government recognizes that we are the guardians of the people. As a people, we are the guardians of our island. Therefore, together, we are our own guardians and keepers. Do we then not have a responsibility to take good care of ourselves and our country? To this end, my government will be as vigilant about environmental protection as it is about economic growth. We expect the citizenry to be equally responsible and cooperative. We cannot carry out our collective responsibilities if we only look out for self. We must be more caring, more concerned, more involved, and more innovative. In fact, we need to be a different and transformed people to cope with these challenging times. Madam President, Madam Speaker, qui bagay bel, qui bagay pa bel en pays, nous ni pour soin kon nou, et puis famille nous. Nous ni pour voyer ich nou l'école. Nous ni pour point précaution et puis santé nous. Nous ni pour occuper ça qui passe à occuper pour yo. Gouvernement ni pour pochiwer ça pays a besoin. Pour assurer qui pays a ka faire progrès. Mais nous chaque ni responsabilité nous pour faire bagay marcher. Est-ce que nous ça changer manière nous ka vivre et puis manger différemment? Est-ce que nous pas ça produit ça nous ka servi? Est-ce que nous ça faire plus sacrifice et puis ménager l'argent nous plus meilleur? Est-ce nous pas ça mettre un petit mieux plus effort en travail nous? Est-ce nous pas ça faire temps pour visiter les malades et puis ces grands monde en commune nous plus souvent? Est-ce nous pas ça occuper parents nous et puis grands parents nous plus meilleur? Et puis cette maman là, est-ce nous pas ça soignons doloteyo et ben respecteyo pli passé nous ka faire? Est-ce que pas ça chen pays a pli propre passé hier? Est-ce que pas ça protéger l'environnement nous? Mes frères, mais bien si nous ça fait ça et même plus. Mais c'est pour nous changer mentalité nous. Nous n'est pour bâtir pays, pas démolir et ben aider les gens. Pas dire ou pas mêler et puis ça qui a fait au Liwan, ça qui a fait en pays. Parce que moi si oui, il pas ni jeune monde parmi nous qui a dit il pas aimé Sainte-Lucie, pays natal. C'est là nos fêtes. Et puis, quand je te dis un temps avant, c'est là l'ombre nous t'aimé. Nous tout ça dit, et puis l'honorable Derrick Walcott. Moi, c'est Jean Sainte-Lucie. C'est là mon fête. Mais si nous ne pouvons pas parler pour lutter contre toute difficulté pour sauver, si nous tournons de nous à souille en tant qu'Awem Salah, en tant qu'Guyav Salah, c'est bal fini. Mais cinq fois, nous n'ayons responsabilité bien sérieuse pour génération qui va venir. Nous n'avons pour quitter Sainte-Lucie Bayo dans en plus meilleure condition parce que nous sommes trouvés là. C'est ça nous a créé développement soutenable. Pas désappointer ces jeunesses-là, mais faut excès, pas gaspiller droit naissance. Madam President, Madam Speaker, almost 500 years ago, the British took control of Ireland, then waged war with France over it. Because it switched so often between the British and the French, it became known as the Helen of the West Indies, as it was likened to the mythical Helen of Troy, the face that launched 1,000 ships. I know all St. Lucians appreciate that this land, our land, is worth fighting for. In this time of economic conflict, where battles rage between the nations that have and those that have not, between multinational corporations with tremendous power and peasant farmers with little influence, this government, your government, my government, pledges to work together in a spirit of solidarity to emerge from these battles a better, stronger, safer, and more resilient St. Lucia. With this pledge, with this commitment, I am pleased, Madam President, Madam Speaker, to formally declare open the fourth session of the 9th Parliament of St. Lucia. I thank you.